I'm a real wild one.
Wild one.
Wild one.
Wild one.
Welcome to Big Foamy Head, the Back to Beer Show. We're finally getting back to our beer after just totally avoiding podcasting, beer, work, life, and everything in general for, gosh, going on a month or so.
It was time.
It was. And life got in the way. So the question du jour is, where the hell have we been? What have we been up to? And I know given the Obamification of the country, we all at work.
Got to pay taxes.
Yeah.
Scared losing our jobs.
That's right. So,
and, you know, I guarantee you a lot of these people just think we live down here in this dungeon down here and just do nothing but put out podcasts. But, you know, we all each have lives and, you know, we got
to
live.
Yeah, we have to go out and earn our keep, and because the man is keeping us down. We're under his thumb. And some of us been going to school. Because we are uneducated hillbillies.
Uneducated.
I'm sorry. See, I don't even know how to say that. So I've been finishing up my school and trying to learn something or another, better myself, so one day when I grow up, I can be like Rick Hagerbomber.
Just like, but different.
That's my goal. Just like you, but different in almost every way, except for the Denver part.
The Denver?
Yeah, that's where I want to be when I grow up. And I know Mike's been screwing around on the internet a lot. I don't know how he's keeping a job with this proliferation of shit he sends me.
Hey, now with the cell phones that you get email on, you can just hit forward, you know, forward.
All day long.
And I get emails in from my customers and coworkers. And I just hit the forward button, Dick Pepper, Rick Hagerbomber,
right.
Boom.
That's
and
right.
I send them to Phil every now and then out there in California.
So, and Rick's been busy, right?
Well, you know that one email you forwarded to me that said if I didn't forward 25 of my friends, I'd have bad luck for 6 years?
Yeah.
Well, I got the bad luck for 6 years part, damn you.
Oh, man. You know better.
What the hell are you doing to me? Don't do that anymore.
Did you get the one with the not safe for work warning today or yesterday? What was that?
Yeah, which, man, those come to you all the time. To our, of course, our work email. And Rick, it's time for you to promote what you've been up to on the internet.
We've been doing a little bit of the Facebook stuff, taking over for where the kids left off. You know, it was made popular by college kids, and I guess some of them grew up, some of them didn't. We'd be part of the ones that didn't. But we created a Facebook group for a Big Foamy Hit.
That's right. It's a huge success. Yeah. It's like 15,000-20,000 members, right?
Holy for holy.
But in order not to scare people off, we keep the numbers down and only show like a couple.
Okay.
Yeah. It's part of the marketing strategy.
Well, I'll tell you how new it is.
Keep us on the down low.
That's right.
I'll tell you how new it is. I have not even joined, and I'll do that maybe tomorrow.
But you got one of those hand-cranked laptops. Wooden keys.
Yeah. I got that little mouse on the treadmill.
That's right. You have a live mouse. No dead plastic one. But, so check out the Facebook page by going to Facebook, logging in, and in the search box type, Big Foamy Head, and there you go. And while we're pimping, our boy Phil has a Life as My Life as a Foodie Facebook page, too.
They
just
wow.
A lot of people we know do.
Yeah.
I know that guys from ShouldIDrinkThat.com,
yep.
They've got stuff going on, and our friend James Spencer and Steve Wilkes over at Basic Brewing Radio and Video,
yep.
They have Facebook pages and fan pages. So
yes.
Are
yes.
they all doing Facebook?
Everybody, everybody
all
but you.
Kids.
You're
oh
the only one, Mike.
Where the hell have I been?
Last for kickball, last for Facebook.
But I was good at dodgeball.
That's it. That's right. You dodge at Facebook. But anyway, so that's what we've been up to. Our apologies. We're back on it. And we are back on it with a vengeance with our first beer that Rick hooked us up. And let me make sure I say it right. Brabant?
That's how I say it.
Okay. So tell us about the beer.
Well, it's from Avery Brewing Company. This is the first of their Barrel Age series. It's ale aged in Zinfandel barrels. And interesting story, Avery has a beer called Mephistopheles. We've had that on the show before. Fantastic, very strong ale. He got a call from a vineyard saying, "Hey, I heard you guys have a Mephistopheles. Well, I have a Mephistopheles wine." And Adam was going, "Oh, shit, am I going to get sued or what?" And they started talking, and Adam eventually made friends with the guy. And, you know, it wasn't an antagonistic type of call at all. And they decided to do a little bit of collaboration. So he got these Zinfandel barrels from the same guy who does the Mephistopheles wine.
Okay.
Kind of an interesting backstory.
And the barrels were used in the production of this ale to age them, right?
Right. And then the Avery guys, they went and funked it up with some beer or some Brettanomyces that they got over in they actually brought some beers back from Belgium and harvested some of the Brett bugs from there. So it's very dry.
Yeah. It is. It's got a real little bite aftertaste, dry like a wine.
Yeah, and it's definitely got the nose on the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I cracked mine, poured it in the glass, and I let it sit for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You started drinking on yours, and it's like I could smell it from like 3 feet away.
Yeah.
It's got the little sour aroma. It doesn't. The sour part doesn't stick.
Mm-hmm.
It goes. It twangs you when you drink it, and then it's gone. And we've got some marketing splooge on this that because we're too illiterate. I did mention we were uneducated to describe that. So we let the geniuses, Peter, the marketing genius, I suppose, at Avery describe what this is. And it says experimentation, ales and lagers that defy styles or categories. This is what we are about, our driving force, our passion. To further facilitate this innovative spirit, we developed our barrel-aged series where anything, and we mean anything, goes. It was in all caps, so it must be true.
They're just wanting to be real loud.
Yeah. Brewed for those as adventurous as we are. And so that was the marketing speak, which really, I guess after reading all that, it meant nothing. So, Rick,
gosh, I'm friends with these guys, you guys. So.
Well,
it's
I mean,
8.7 alcohol by volume. As a matter of fact, because I'm such a high-powered media representative with a big foamy head, they let me buy more than they had other people were allowed to buy at the release party.
Sweet. So.
They knew not to screw with you.
That's right.
Because you wield the awesome sword that is Big Foamy Head.
The hammer.
You would cleave them in two.
That's right. But hey. I want to thank CV for hooking me up there. So
yeah, that's really nice.
And you guys get a signed bottle from Adam Avery.
Cool, yeah. Rick, I only read part of it. Did you have the other you wanted to do the other part of the marketing speak where they actually do talk about it?
Yeah, my Internet Explorer is currently set to Steaks and Blowjobs Day, which is March 14th, so okay. Let me get back to it.
Man has to have his
priorities.
Well,
how long was the...
So the people understand February 14th is Valentine's Day, March 14th is Steaks and Blowjobs Day, so...
It's the man version.
What? The luscious dark ale fermented with two strains of wild yeast, Brettanomyces, then aged for 8 months in Zinfandel barrels. We hope you enjoy sifting through the vast layers of complexity in this mysterious ale.
Yeah.
It's complex.
That was the one, and I'm looking at the sheet that you sent me. So I only read the real splugy stuff, but that in one sentence describes this. And it is the wild yeast, two strains, mind you, not just one.
Yeah.
And so it is. It's very complex, lots of different taste as you drink it, as you
It's got a great color. It's got a great color, a good aroma.
Yeah.
The sourness I like. I'm not a sour beer drinking guy, but this is just a hint of it, and I like it. I really do like that.
And you said the color is kind of looks like a Coke. It's a dark brown, and it's got some tan heads. And interesting, the foam, it settled down pretty quick, but it's like a swirly sort of foam. It's it's not totally dissipating.
Mm-hmm.
And we're drinking these. We're using our official Chimay glasses. What are you consuming yours in?
I'm doing the Sam Adams scientifically designed beer drinking glass. Okay. So it's a laser etch on the bottom.
All right. So we're drinking these with glasses designed to channel beer aroma and flavor and open it up. And I think that was a good choice on our part.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had a note on here about, and I didn't see this on here, what would this pair with if you were eating food? Would this be like a, you know, artisan cheeses type of things or hamburgers or pizza? Or what do you think would go with something like this? Because with this wild taste, that's going to be, yeah, you know, predominant.
I think I'd like a big juicy cheeseburger with maybe some pepper jack cheese, maybe seasoned with some Rendezvous rib rub, something like that.
I would like some real dry, like that hard cheese, mm-hmm, like the Romano, the Pecorino, the kind of like the ones that got like that little nutty sort of taste,
yeah,
to go with this that wouldn't fight with it, but each would stand on its own. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I was going to actually go with the kind of the fatty soft cheeses, like the...
Oh, yeah.
Why not with a little bit of extra flavor to it, because this will kind of cut through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that would be a contrasting... what would go well with sour, you know, to complement? I don't know. Yeah. What's sour?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like maybe some fruit or something?
How about a lemon meringue pie?
Cabbage. Meringue cabbage. What could possibly go wrong? You'd like swell up and blow up. Like Willy Wonka. You know?
The little blueberry girl.
The blueberry girl, yeah. So this is good stuff. It really is good, and it's. I don't know if you know this, but I'm used to it now.
Yeah,
one glass, half a glass. We split a 12-ouncer, mm-hmm, but half a glass, and it's not. It doesn't seem as sour as biting.
No, it's not anymore. Overpowering at all. No. Some of those sour beers we've drank in the past, I've struggled all the way through.
Yeah, they have.
All the way through from the top to the bottom of the glass.
And yeah, and I'm glad that Avery's joining the barrel aged group. And that we got to taste the first out of their series. I assume that this will be a long-term thing. I've seen that they are warehousing a lot of barrels right now.
Wow.
I mean, nothing like New Belgium that has acres of barrels.
Right.
But
yeah, I've never really I hadn't thought about that, but they haven't done barrel age. And Dogfish Head, who else?
Well, certainly Vinny. Russian River.
Yeah.
Russian River. Tommy Arthur down at Lost Abbey does a ton of barrel-aged. You know, so the Brett Pack, basically.
Yeah. And so Adam's a little late to the party, fashionably late.
Mm-hmm.
And with wine barrels up instead of, you know, the
whiskey, which
we love, the bourbon barrel. Mm-hmm. But the wine barrels, I've had a Russian River. I can't remember which one it was. And then Dogfish Head has a couple. The red and white and the black and blue are both wine, either wine barrel or wine extract based.
Well, what was the one we did at Fallen Rock that we got the last of, remember? It was a, wasn't it a wine barrel aged beer?
Yeah. I don't recall.
I think it was
a Russian River. It was a Russian
was
River.
It sanctification. Was it like consecration ale?
Constipation.
Yeah.
One of them. Yeah. Note to listeners, don't try the constipation aisle. Okay. It's nowhere near as good as it sounds.
That was
it binds you up. It binds you up.
And that was brewed by Run to the River Brewing Company.
But it's good stuff. The barrel age and using barrels is it's an art unto itself. And I think and to further screw with it, adding the Bretts, right? Mm-hmm. This is
Well, that's the difficult part because the Bretts, they just want to go and go till all the sugar's gone.
Yeah,
making it very, very dry. So, mm-hmm, you know, you kind of want to limit that to some extent, but they're hard to control.
And this is not really a super high alcohol at all. 8.7. That's not that bad, and very good, very good stuff. And we let ours warm up a little bit. It says suggest serve it at 45 to 55, which I think we're close to that. So we were talking about barrels, and speaking of barrel age, Mike shared some news with us about Alabama blues man Willie King, whose voice sounds like he's visited the inside of a whiskey barrel once or twice. And he's He's left us. We lost another one, right?
Yeah, we lost him on Sunday, March the 8th of this year. He was the outstanding Alabama blues musician. Willie King passed away near his home in Old Memphis, Alabama. That's kind of weird, Memphis, Alabama.
I know. When I was reading the obit about him, I said, Old Memphis.
Yeah.
Alabama.
Old Memphis, Alabama.
Who knew?
Had a massive heart attack. His career started on a plantation with a one-string homemade diddly bow.
Diddly bow, man.
Diddly bow.
Which we see at Memphis in May.
Yes, we do.
Which we'll talk about later.
Yep. Six recordings and a DVD later, along with numerous national and international festival performances, Willie King has gained a substantial national and international reputation. The loss of this great blues man will be felt by fans and musicians all over the world who have been touched by his unique juke joint blues and uplifting message of peace, love, and social justice. I was listening to some interviews from people on Sirius Radio the other day, and they were all talking about when he really got started, he was singing about social injustice and mm-hmm. and politicians
yeah.
and you know what was happening in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah, it's protest music
exactly.
And
so he was
yeah.
Bono of the day, right?
What?
He was like Bono of the day, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you look at a lot of the old songs, I mean, I've listened to several because I've got that Sirius Radio now. A lot of the older rock and roll music, like, God, I'm drawing a blank, Bob Dylan.
Because you've been drinking.
Yeah, Bob Dylan I mean, even...
Led Zeppelin like is a lot of blues. A lot of the British Invasion stuff was a blues.
Oh, absolutely, everyone. I noticed that, and I don't know if you got this on the site that you're looking at, but one of his first records was a self-titled, self-produced, self-released, and mm-hmm. I think it was, I had it up on iTunes, but it was something like Peace, Love, and Happiness.
Mm-hmm.
This is, and of course, you got to put it in context, he died rather young,
mm-hmm.
65,
yeah.
And that's, these days, isn't that old, so we're talking about something that he's preaching this message, but he saw a lot of hard times, mm-hmm. granted. But it's really, like you said, it's pretty nice. And there's also on there, he was the subject of a documentary that, two, actually. He's talking about On the Page. And what's the website you're looking at? It, like Plantation?
This one is, it's just a Willie King homepage. AlabamaBlues.org, Willie King.
That's the one.
Index. Okay. So, and it yeah. talks here about how he, you know, even though he was fairly popular and sold some albums and music, he's basically broke, like
yeah.
most
blues. Like most, yeah.
Like most blues guys are. So if you feel like donating to help with his funeral and burial costs, you can get online and go make a donation.
So Alabama Blues.
Yeah, AlabamaBlues.org, okay. Willie King.
And there's a couple of videos on there that you can watch. And I put mm-hmm. one of them down, and it's very nice, nicely done. It's these two Danish filmmakers. And then he was also part of one of Martin Scorsese's films, too. Martin Scorsese's big blues guy, done a couple of things, none of which went to Cannes or Sunset or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
But it's cool stuff, and Willie King was all about the blues, and we got a song, like you said, known for the juke joints, is recorded live at Betty's Juke Joint. That's what the blues is all about.
Tell you what this blues is all about. Well, I said, yeah, my granddaddy told me, hey, what my granddaddy told me. I'm going to tell you what this blues is all about. What this blues is all about. You know, there would be no doubt.
Hey,
I'm going to tell you what this blues is all about. Is that it blue? It's a friend.
Hey, hey.
He's
said it blue. Freddy D. Hey, it's a blue.
I'm gonna tell you
it's a free Freddy D. Make sure you step to the sea. He said, hey,
hey,
hey, hey, want you to see the homie.
Hey, no.
Want you to see after the sea. So you know there's no doubt.
There's no doubt.
That's what the blues is all about.
All about. This is what the beer is all about. There it is, right there.
There it is.
It was a pop top. We were debating whether it would pop or not. And we've got on our side of the fence, we've got some German beer. We're getting fired up, and Rick's got some too. What are you drinking, Rick?
I am drinking the Wiltenberger Kloster Barock Dunkel.
Barock?
Not to be confused with the Barock Cluster. Yeah. Yeah. We recognize all political parties and affiliations. That's a noisy little beer. Listen to that. It gurgles.
It gurgles.
So, and Mike, what have we got? We're pouring
a Das Schwarz.
Das Schwarz, which means the black.
Black as night, and yet so easily like a Pils. It is a Pilsner beer. Brewed by the, I can't pronounce it. Good God.
By some German dudes.
Yeah, it's a brewery over there in Germany. We got these beers from Eric Hornbostel, who's a FedEx pilot. And he was very kind to bring us a large selection. And this is one of them. And it it poured a very nice color, black color,
very Schwartz, very black,
true to a Schwartz beer.
Yep, a light head.
Light head, good aroma.
Very light. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is we've had Schwartz beers before. This has not a lot of roast to it, like some of the others we've had.
No, it's very mild. And I looked on Rate Beer and only got a 34, so I was a little leery.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I think it might be because it's so light.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of, this is a nice drinking little beer.
Yeah.
Not a lot of alcohol.
You know, you would look at this beer and go, oh my gosh, an average beer drinker would probably look at it and go, oh hell, that's way too dark. Or way too strong.
Yeah.
They would use the word strong.
It's a scary looking beer.
Yeah,
but this is one if you blindfolded somebody and said, try this.
Yeah. They'd probably think they're drinking a Miller Lite.
It's stronger than a Corona.
Mm-hmm.
But not
by much.
Okay,
so that's what a normal beer drinker would think. What about an abnormal beer drinker?
Well, you would approach it with an open mind, number one.
But you would be assuming.
Yeah.
You would be, I think, Rick. You would be, if you were going for a more Schwartz beer, or as we interpret, a more Schwartz beery taste with some roast,
yeah,
you might be disappointed.
Okay.
Not that it's a bad beer.
It's just not real.
It's not roasty.
No.
It's got a little tiny grain taste at the end.
It's got that Pilsner taste, that clean, fresh taste.
Yeah. Well, like I mean, it's a lager. It's so smooth, but it just the tiniest bit of roast or grain at the end. Mm-hmm. And really more grain than roast. It's just not that overwhelming. Goes down good. Love to drink another one.
Yeah. Meanwhile, mine from the Wiltonberg Abbey Brewery.
The cluster.
Or the Wiltonberger Cluster Brewery is the oldest monastery brewery in the world, having been in operation since 1050.
Wow.
The beer Wiltonberger Cluster Barock Dunkel was given the World Beer Award in 2004 as the best Dunkel beer in the world. So,
awesome.
I'm drinking the best in the world, dudes.
Yeah, you
are. You guys are drinking your 36 rate beer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're 34.
We're down here in Memphregov freezing our nuts off drinking 34 beer.
But you know what? It was a lot better than that Christmas beer.
Oh, man. Well, so that it's a Dunkel, so that's got to have some taste going on there.
Dunkel, along with a Hell's, is traditional style brewed in Munich and popular throughout Bavaria with alcohol concentrations 4.5 to 6.7 by volume. Dunkels are weaker than Doppelbocks, which I have. I have another Doppelbock from these guys. And Dunkels were the original style of the Bavarian villages and countryside, so very nice, malty, sweet, very low hopping. It's not a hot bomb, obviously, but it's delicious.
Did you hear that? That was me pouring some more of this 34, right 36 beer. Right beer.
Now, but you still think it's better than the Christmas beer, right?
Well, I don't know which Christmas beer.
The one that ended up coming back up.
Oh, yeah, well, obviously. But
Oh, thanks, Mike.
Beer is only better the first time around. I think that's true. If your beer is better the second time around, is this leaving your
body?
There's
a problem.
There's a problem. But speaking of which, Rick, I committed a party foul of the most heinous nature.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Do tell.
Okay. Mike's at the door, the garage door. And I thought I was drinking like a Sierra Nevada. And I go and open the garage door and I reach over next to the garage and I got this file cabinet sitting right next to the door opener. And I grab my beer and I take a big swig. And it was like, oh my God. I was like spitting and hocking up. It was this bottle of hazed and infused, an empty bottle that had like a tenth of an inch of beer juice sediment left from about 2 or 3 months ago. It was not.
Is this a story I should share with my friends at Boulder Brewing?
Tell them that hazed and infused, when left open and unattended for 3 months, loses some flavor.
Okay.
It was rank. It's like that's the oldest beer I've ever drank.
Yeah, Dick, I was walking in the garage and he was coming out going, hold.
I was about to yark.
That happened tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah. Earlier. Yeah. I had to go cleanse my palate with another Sierra Nevada. It was bad. Well, I mentioned that we're freezing our little tangerines off down here because it's cold. It's cold here in the M-Town.
No, I was in New Orleans yesterday. It was 82, 83 degrees.
I know. Hell, I know. I looked at that because we were going to go to New Orleans on spring break. It's going to drop a little, get down to 70, thunderstorms the whole time. So we passed on our trip. We were going to go down to New Orleans. And, of course, we were looking at going to New Orleans in about a month and a half for the New Orleans Jazz Fest. We've never been. But we were looking at going. You been? Mm-mm. You been? You ain't been either? Mm-mm. We were looking because they had a great lineup. And the reason we were looking is because we were not overwhelmed with our own Memphis and May lineup.
Yeah, they got Johnny Winter down there, man.
They got Tab Benoit. They got Dave Matthews. Great. They got all kinds of.
I wouldn't go to see Johnny Winter, but I'd go see Tab Benoit.
It's 2 weeks worth of jam.
Well, this is what I know, though. So we were looking at this hard and fast because the lineup in Memphis May was sucking major ass. It was ass juice for days. They might have labeled it Memphis in May. No, wait, it's ass juice. But they didn't. And so they kind of sort of pulled it out of the fire. It's still pretty half-assed for opening, for major acts, but they got some good ones. Tommy Castro's coming. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. Lil Ed in the Imperials. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of the ones in here. So the blues tent's going to be pretty rocking, and it's a mixed bag.
Don't forget the killer.
That's the thing. This is where we have we've mentioned this. We've talked about this for a couple of years now. He dodged us last year, but this is it. We got one more shot. Because he's back. It's the final showdown between Big Foamy Head and the killer, Jerry Lee Lewis. One of us ain't leaving the park. Or maybe we will, and we'll pick it back up another time. But we threw the stink eye, major stink eye at him 2 years ago, Rick. And I think we wounded him. Because he didn't show up the last year.
He's still hanging in there, though.
He's still hanging in there. So we're going back, and we're going to throw some major.
He looked better last year than he did the first year we gave him stink eye.
Yeah, I know. We might have used the wrong flavor of stink. And
I thought he was there last year.
Was he there last year?
Yeah.
He was.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Okay. I'm sorry. Maybe it was his clone I was thinking of. The killer clone. But
The little killer.
Yeah, the little killer. Killer number two. Yeah. But I don't know, man. We're going to have to take him down. We may have to rush the stage and take him down. Just snatch his ass right off the stage.
Blow dart.
Yeah, okay. Bring your pipe.
Well, I tell you what. The Katy Perry's there the first night, so she kissed a girl and she liked it.
And she wears real short skirts.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, she get up close then.
Yeah.
We'll bring
Steve
Alan.
Miller.
Yeah, Steve Miller, man. And I tell you who's coming. And I was like, I tell you who I'm looking forward to is Elvis Costello.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'll be pretty cool.
But it just doesn't have that pop.
It doesn't.
There's nothing there to really have a pop, you know?
It's weak, because, God help us, Fall Out Boy is coming. Mm. And you're reaching if you're headlining those
guys. 311 is good, but it's still not.
They've been there, done that multiple times. And
Shinedown's going to be there.
Yeah. She's real pumped about Shinedown being there. So, and they're real good. Yeah. I like those guys. So, you know, we've got odds and ends, highs and lows. And, of course, we'll give you the blow-by-blow the closer we get.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that it's an interesting mix of lineup of people, a homebrew, if you will.
It's hard to believe it's already coming back. It's close, you know?
I know. It's going to be made before you know.
And speaking of homebrew.
What you got? Hey, Rick, what's for drinking?
What's for drinking?
currently in the fermenter, I have the Borp. You know, I've always got to have a batch of that on hand. So That's going. I've got a Roggen beer on tap and a real diacetyl tasting Ralph beer. That's a smoke beer. I didn't even realize that was so strong in diacetyl, which is a beer flaw. It tastes like butter. Until I took it to the homebrew group and let them taste it. And they were kind of like going, well, yeah. It's got a lot of diacetyl, yeah.
But you didn't tell them you serve it with pancakes, and it's all no. good. It's all good. Then pears damn fine
just
with pancakes.
Pour right on the pancakes.
Popcorn, yeah. Corn well, on see, the cob.
Th- yeah.
This is the one that I actually smoked the malts with a cold smoker. I had ghetto rigged in my backyard. So
was that the one that you got the beech wood?
Yeah. I bought a whole bunch of beech wood off.
You did this right, completely.
Yeah, I put a ton of work into it. But
where'd the diacetyl come from?
I don't know.
That's when you turn left instead of right.
The other day, it's got to age a little bit more. And, I think it's one of those things where, you got to raise the temperature so that the yeast come back and they absorb some diacetyl, and then you drop the yeast or the temperature again, the yeast drop out of suspension, they bring that flavor out with them. So
is that the crashing the yeast?
Right. Okay. Well, first you drop the temperatures and then you raise it and then you drop it again.
Okay, so they carry the diacetyls down with them as you murder the thousands and millions.
When they go to sleep, you leave them on the bottom of the fermenter and pump the good stuff off.
Okay. Well, I need to do my Maybach like that, you think?
Sure. Yeah, you should.
Why not? Can't hurt.
Well, I've been hanging there at about 44 degrees. What should I do? Bring it up to what?
I don't know. I'd bring it up to maybe 52 or so and then drop it back down.
How long at the higher temp?
Don't know, a day or two.
Okay.
So, actually, I'm brewing a Doppelbock this weekend, so I got to do the same thing.
Okay.
And that's one of those where you want to boil it for like 90 minutes to drive off the DMS precursors. So
that's going to be that's going to be one you're going to lager for a while. The Doppelbock, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned earlier the BORP, and for people who don't know that acronym because they're just totally out of touch, it's bourbon, oat, robust porter, right?
Right. And I always throw some smoked malts in it. So
yum.
It's BORP with smoked malts. BORP. Anyway, that'll be on tap within about 6 weeks or less.
Yum, 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 yum. And Mike's got the Maybach. And what else you got going on?
Got a three-hearted ale, just kegged last week, and it's drinkable as we speak. And then I've got the milk left-hand. Well, it's not a left-hand, but it's a milk stout I brewed.
It's a right-hand milk stout.
Yeah, it's a right-hand milk stout. And I hope it turns out half as good as left-hand milk stout, and I'll be tickled to damn death.
So if the left-hand don't get you,
the right-hand will knock you in the back of the head. So I'm counting on that one to be pretty good. And I should be able to keg it this weekend, and another week or so it'll be ready to taste.
And we got – I don't know if we – I can't remember if we drank it or not, but every so often we crack up in one of your Imperial Stouts.
All gone. Yeah.
The end of an era.
I drank the last two at the Super Bowl.
And another one you had, and Rick, I know you heard him bitching about it because he was so unhappy with it, but it's came around, the spice beer.
Oh, the spice beer. Yeah, it did.
It did. It took a while.
I still probably got a gallon of that left in the keg.
It came out good.
I'm going to hang on to it till next Christmas and see what it does.
A little cinnamon note. It's one that's aging quite nice.
Yeah, I told you I don't think I'll ever do it again unless I have a true recipe to go by, because I think that's what screwed it up. I was just dumping shit in there. And
you're cleaning the spice counter out one day. And there you
go. Said, hey, I'll make a beer, throw the spice, everything but the kitchen sink in it.
Now, Rick, you mentioned that you had... had your peers bitch slap your beer around.
I was starting to feel a little good about myself. You know, my self esteem was raised up maybe above sea level, and decided to submit some of my beers to a competition. Three different beers, three different categories, and got nothing. I paid people $21 and gave away six of my beers to get nothing. So.
That sucks.
Yeah, but you know better, Rick. I mean, you know what your beer's all about.
Well, and
I know why I like them.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's good to get an opinion, right? But they're like assholes.
That's right. Everybody's got one.
And they all stink.
Yeah. And I don't care how good looking that girl is. Somebody's tired of her crap.
That's right. That bitch.
Doesn't matter how good looking she is, somebody's tired of her.
That's right.
I was in New Orleans yesterday, and day before yesterday, and this girl comes up, and me and my rep are in the car, and this beautiful blonde comes up, and she's in this Mercedes AMG. You ever seen those?
Yeah.
That's that 400 horsepower motor in that thing.
Yeah.
And she comes up, the windows are down because it's warm temperature, hair flowing, all that stuff, tan, and beautiful girl. And she just stands on the throttle, and that car just takes on off, And man, the guy next to me says, "Man, she was beautiful." And I said, "Yeah, but you know what? No matter how beautiful she is, somebody is tired of her crap."
That's right. That's right. Doesn't matter. Just try and remember that. You're thumbing through your Playgirl magazine.
Yeah.
Somebody doesn't. Well, speaking
not
of
you, but somebody.
That's right. Somebody's willing to take her over too. Speaking of your homebrew, why don't you bust one of them bad boys up?
What are we going? We're going to do the Sam Adams Imperial.
We're going to do
all right, let's do it.
Mike brought that.
We're still sick of you, guys. This is going to be a long segment.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot to cover here. A month behind. The homebrew that Mike's getting out, the three-hearted ale, of course, is a clone of the two-hearted ale from Bell's. And this is one of my favorite. This is how good, how favorite it is. I've asked him to let me subsidize the production of this. It's a keeper. And you've done this both as an all-grain and as an extract, right?
As an extract, yeah.
So this one we're drinking here, how long has this been in the bottle?
This one brewed
three weeks ago?
Yeah, and actually, this one's been, poured this out of the keg.
Yeah, that's pretty beer.
Yeah, it's a good-looking beer. It's got a little haze to it. I think it's going to settle down a little more, too, as you let it sit. But I love this, and it's got big bubbles, little bubbles, all kinds, and it's a good drinking beer. And although this, I like this one kind of young. Wait, let me restate that. But
it's got a blonde head, and you like it young.
Yeah, it's an immature beer, but it's got a nice hoppy character, and to me, this tastes like almost like a fresh hot beer. I think because it hasn't set up as much, you got that kind of freshness.
And it's just all Cascade hops, and you put them. It's a bunch of additions of Cascade hops. It's a little. The carbonation needs to be kicked up a little more in it, and it is now.
But it's good stuff.
Because I bottled this a week ago out of the keg,
and that's it.
Yeah.
This is the one that you put some up because I was out of town. You said I scored a couple bottles. So this is come from a keg to a bottle.
Right.
So it really didn't have
It's not bottle conditioned.
No, not at all. But good stuff, man. It's very, very good. It's always a favorite. And, of course, now I'm hearing Rick's got some Borp. He needs to put some back because I've got like one bottle of Borp left from God knows how long ago. And I think it was one of your B batches of Borp.
Oh, okay.
It's a questionable Borp, but I'll drink it anyway because that's what homebrew is all about.
And he makes a good Borp.
Yeah, he do. So, like I said, this three-hard ale is a bad boy. And speaking of bad boys, I got a blending here of two bluesmen, Jimmy Vaughn of the Fabulous Thunderbirds and older, most revered brother of Stevie Ray Vaughn and Omar Dykes from Omar and the Howlers. And these two guys got together to cover in a whole album of Jimmy Reed songs. And so we're going to play you one of the Jimmy Reed songs that's done by Jimmy Vaughn. No more. It's called Bad Boy.
I'm a bad, bad boy. Long way from home. I'm just a bad boy. Long way from home. got nobody or no place to call my own. I'm a bad, bad boy in your town alone. I'm a bad boy in your town alone. I ain't got nobody or no place to call my home. My side. Next time I travel, I will have you by my side. Then I won't have to walk, babe. Everything will be alright.
Was some bad boy music, and I'm still drinking on my bad boy. We got some more beers coming up, but we were offline, and we need to bring it online. There's a lot of beer news going on.
That's right. Colorado beer activists have gotten the legislature to reject House Bill 1192, which was a measure allowing grocery stores to sell full-strength beer. Failed to pass the Business Affairs and Labor Committee yesterday. That people who haven't really been following the whole topic, Colorado liquor stores are able – it's one liquor license per liquor store. So the liquor store owners have great latitude in what they decide to sell and present. And then what they wanted to do was to be able to sell full-strength beers in the stores and wine and liquor, and that would have put a lot of these Colorado liquor stores out of business.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately that would have lowered the selection available mm-hmm. to the consumers and been bad for business. So it's good. I'm glad.
It would have put a lot of liquor store owners out of business, probably.
Yeah. And that's just one more blow in today's economy. And Rick, that is, it's not on a ballot. but it is a movement that is afoot here in Tennessee.
In Tennessee, sure is.
They are trying to move the beers into the liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked to the distributors, and they're all for leaving it alone or moving it there. They're going to benefit either mm-hmm. way. I asked them about that, and they said that, well, you know, the way they look at it is, and you can look at it from two perspectives. You can look at it as that you're going to screw the liquor store owners, the people who buy beer, wine, and spirits from you. They're going to have much, much, much more competition. Although, to be fair, here in Tennessee, the markup is not so much the issue as the tax. It's ungodly.
Yeah, it is.
What things cost. But if you look at the promotion of the better beers, the craft beers, and distributing it to a much wider audience, you're not going to get that in the liquor store. Mm. And that's where they're really looking to try and get more mainstream, get more shelf space.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the answer is, whether there's a compromise, split the difference, limit the number of higher alcohol beers, something like that. It hasn't quite got on the ballot yet. It'll be an interesting thing because there's good points to both sides.
Well, look at this. You know, I did retail type sales. I was in the bread business and cookies and crackers and snacks and stuff like that. And let me tell you something, brother. They don't make a shelf stretcher. That shelf, that 12-foot shelf is only 12 feet.
Finite amount of space.
And you've got a new item, and so does your competition. And where the hell does it go? Somebody's got to suffer. And you know, I talked to Steve Barziza about this a couple of weeks ago when we were at the Flying Saucer.
Our local beer distributor.
Yeah, he's
craft
distributor.
Beer, he's the man.
Uh-huh. And, you know, we talked about this, And it's going to be a struggle if they try to move all this stuff into a grocery store. Yeah. Somebody's going to suffer.
Somebody is going to hurt.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's where you weigh the greater good. Well, at the end of the day, the businesses are not in it for the greater good. They're in it for the cash money.
Right.
And, you know, shelf space is still, like you said, even if they were permitted, let's say,
mm-hmm.
that shelf space is not going to change mm-hmm. because Bud and Miller they own a lot of shelf space.
That's right.
And
they're paying premiums. They're paying kickbacks. Yeah. They're doing lots of things to maintain
a lot
that
of giveaways.
Space.
So that's right. And that ain't going to stop.
Uh-uh.
So.
Well, my problem with Memphis, you go into your premium liquor store to buy the craft beer, and you've got one door in the freezer or the cooler.
Yeah. Yeah.
Available craft beer. That's it.
That's it.
Maybe you go to Buster's and they've got three or four doors available.
But that's because it's a giant liquor store. I was doing a presentation over the weekend, and part of my presentation was about the economies of beer.
It's the economy, stupid.
And I talked about, okay, how many people in this room have ever had a Budweiser? And every single person, of course, held up their hand. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, good. And we talked about the economies of them, their approach to marketing. And then we talked about, okay, how many have had a Sam Adams? Not everyone, but a lot. And I said, okay, well, that's good. Well, they are the top shelf, the upper echelon, the largest, mm-hmm. quote, microbrew. Everybody knows them, but they're still a different sort of beer than your Budweiser. Not everybody in this room cares for it. I said, okay, now, show of hands, how many people have had a Dogfish Head? Me and another guy.
Really?
And I said, well, first, you're all a bunch of dumbass barefoot hillbillies, and I'm ashamed to be here with you. And I said, get your ass to a liquor store. And they said,
and
well,
buy
where,
a good beer.
And it's like I had to tell them three times. I said, the good beer isn't necessarily in Schnucks or Kroger's.
Yeah.
You got to go to the liquor store.
Right.
That's where they keep good beer. And they mm-hmm. had, so I converted a couple.
Yeah.
And in my little speech, and, you know, it's a war of attrition,
mm-hmm.
a little bit at a time. But like I said, you know, shelf space, how are you going to get it out there?
So I was in Louisiana this week, and I went to a grocery store, an IGA, and they had an area that was probably 70 feet long and maybe 70 feet the other way, square. And then they had a big cooler all the way across the back, and it was nothing but beer in that cooler across the back.
Okay.
And they had they had all your Chimay and Orval.
So they had a broad.
Man, they had it all.
Now, where did you say you were at?
Well, that's where I got the Brew Dog, one from Scotland.
Right, that Greg Cook from Stone was pimping on our GABF shop.
Yep, and they had the, what was the one I said I bought there?
You bought a bunch.
the one I drank, doggone it.
You bought it?
Tell the Red Racer.
The Hop Rod.
Hop Rod Rye. Yeah.
From Bear Republic.
Bear Republic. Yeah.
Pilsburg. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, what a beer. That made my night in the hotel room.
Okay, it's good to know that you have access to the Brew Dog, because I have access to that too. And we could do that.
Yeah,
we need to cover a little Brew Dog coming up.
Okay.
So we got another one standing by. So Mike's kind of dragging his ass on drinking the Three Hearted Ale. But one of the guys we just mentioned, Sam Adams, we've got an Imperial White standing by. And this is a sort of new release, right?
Yeah, it's their Imperial series. You can go to their website and check it out.
You cannot go to the grocery store and check it out.
No, you can't. This is one. In Tennessee, you'll have to buy this in a liquor store.
That's right.
And it's fairly new, so I don't know if you'll be able to get it yet or not.
Depending on where you live.
Depending on where you live.
But it's something that great chatter. I monitored, and I mentioned the thing that I was doing. I did this deal on it's called Addict-O-Matic.
Hmm.
It's the search engine for everything that's not a web page.
Really?
It searches Twitter, blogs, feeds, all this stuff. And a lot of talk.
How come we didn't think of that?
Because we're dumb shit hillbillies. But
speak for yourself.
I'm looking across the table.
It's fun watching these two because Mike has put a splash of beer in Dick's glass to give him to rinse, and Dick's yapping away.
Well,
so I'll go into what I'm drinking. It's a Weltenberger Cluster Assam Bock.
Another cluster.
Wait a minute. You had a cluster Barak. Now you got a cluster Osama. What?
Yeah, well, Assam, right, yeah, hey, very good. I didn't make that connection.
If you drink a cluster Hussein next, so there's a conspiracy.
That would be a message from heaven above. No, this is from the same brewery that was established in 1050. Well, a long time ago.
1050?
1050.
Man, that's at least, what, 70, 80 years ago.
Yeah, this is not a World Beer Cup best beer ever, but it's a very nice.
It's a good looking beer.
Malty Bock. And I love Bocks. It's the time to drink Bocks. We're in Lent for us Catholics. And, you know, the monks, they always brewed the Bocks and the Doppelbocks to keep them alive during their fasting. So here we go.
Yes, and we completely missed all of that. Mike's got his Maybach going. You're enjoying a. It's a Bock, not a Doppelbock?
It's not a Doppelbock. It's an Assam Bock.
Okay, and the
6.9% ABV. So
okay, not too high. It's kind of a light beer for you, right?
we're getting a little jaded when we start saying that a 6.9 is a light.
I know. Is that the truth or what?
Well, we're jaded.
We got the Sammy Adams Imperial White. Do you have, Mike, can you see what the ABV?
10.3.
Now, that's not
It's a nose light. Tickler.
It is a nose tickler. It's a slight tingle on the palate. But, man, I was thinking, of course, I'm thinking a wit beer, a white, a blonde, you know, real light beer. Now, this will whip your ass and
it's
take
got
your
a,
money.
And you think about it, it's a commercially brewed beer, and it's got all the characteristics of a fine Belgian beer, and with the alcohol content, and there's really nothing overpowering. The alcohol's not overpowering. The beer's not overpowering.
No.
It's a good blend.
Yeah, and, you know, I get what you say about the Belgian characteristics because of the body, some of the fruitiness of it, but it doesn't have the coriander and the spices like a wit. But it takes some of the nice characteristics, and for 10, I got zip for alcohol.
Yeah, I mean
this is
it
a nice drinking, and I got like.
But
a little,
I tell you what,
I got pear and apple notes.
Yeah,
at the
fruity,
end of this.
Little
yeah,
fruity,
fruity.
And the thing about this, I drank one bottle the other night, and I had a hell of a day at work. I mean, like I drove down to New Orleans, worked when I got there, and worked for several hours while I got there. Pretty difficult. A lot of phone conversations during the day, all that stuff. Get to the hotel, drink one of these, and I woke up like 3 o'clock in the morning laying in bed. This beer put me out at 10.3%.
Your pants down around your ankles, a strange man next to you.
No, there wasn't going on.
Were you hugging the porcelain god when you woke up?
No, it was just one beer just wham, put me out.
Really?
Yeah.
Was okay. So this is a date rape beer.
No kidding, man. It hit me and hit me hard.
Yeah.
Speaking of your Imperial Wit from Boston Beer Company, Boston, Massachusetts. What I have in my hands is a list of beers that were at the 7th Annual Boulder Strong Ale Fest. 75 beers, one of which was the ones you're drinking right now.
Yeah.
So,
awesome. You guys are enjoying. Awesome stuff. And, you know, they have a – if you get into their Imperial series, they have the Doppelbock, and then they have the Imperial Wit. And they have the Imperial Stout, and then they have an Imperial Pilsner. So, and all of these are really high in alcohol and flavor, and I think they're going to be. I'm excited to try the other ones.
And we're
hoping to meet Jim Cook one day. I know a lot of people. Yeah.
You got the glass, right? The next step is just meeting a guy.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, you know what?
Drinking his beer.
And we're drinking this, and like I said, it's an upscale beer. I would say it's a tasty beer. No, it's a classy beer.
Yeah.
And what does...
Well, we need some class and culture,
We do need some class and culture, Rick.
Cue that goddamn music.
Are you going to cue the music? Beer Haiku from Beer Haiku Daily. This is written by Captain Hops. It's called An Empty Keg. Nobody panic. If there's no more beer left, we've still got whiskey. Beer Woo-hoo. Haiku.
Class. Culture. Brilliant.
Oh, that was brought to you by the Big Foamy Head Interpretive Dance Theater.
That's right. If you were watching this on video, you would have seen Mike and I performing this haiku. We do an interpretive dance that illustrates this.
In the raw.
Yeah, in the raw. We do it Big O Mortensen style. What'd you say with ass and nards hanging everywhere? Oh man, the imagery! I gotta burn my eyes, pluck my eyes out.
But the thing is, we've been doing this class and culture for years. So,
hey Rick, think about this now, and it's coming up. July 4th. We are closing in. We're only 3 months away.
From?
4 years.
4 years.
4 years, wow. It's got to be an anniversary. I think my daughter's out on her 2-month anniversary with a boyfriend. So
holy moly.
Well, we're coming up on our 4-year anniversary.
4-year anniversary, I know. Yeah, golly.
How long you been in Denver?
Two. Coming up on 2 years, right?
Too long, apparently.
Yeah. So, man, something. But,
hey, you guys had some class and culture. I thought I heard about a book review.
We have maybe a book review. I wanted to extend this because one of the things while I was out that
Wait,
I did.
Is this brought by the Interpretive Dance Theater or is this just regular class and
culture? No, this is just regular class.
It's called Action Comic Books.
I actually have – I got a musical accompaniment to this on the way out. But I've been traveling a lot for work, and I picked up this book, and I didn't realize when I grabbed it that this was not a paperback. It was paperback-ish, but it was an illustrated book, and the damn thing is $20 as a check. I was like, what? But I had to read it because it was just too cool, and it was. I really recommend you read this. It's just like a glimpse into the personal life. It's called The Heroin Diaries by Nikki Six of Motley Crue.
Oh wow!
And it's amazing. This guy, and you got to set the scene. This is 1986. They just finished recording, and in the midst of finishing the last few songs for Motley Crue's Girls, Girls, Girls album, which went through the damn roof, right? And Nikki Six at that time was strung out.
Mm-hmm. It got on MTV.
Yeah.
And that's when MTV first came out.
Yeah. I mean, this is, well, MTV was 76.
Yeah, it was in the mid-70s.
But it was at its peak. Yeah, with music videos.
But back then, they were doing fish heads, greamy, grimy fish heads. You remember that video?
Yeah.
You remember that video?
Eat them up, yum. Yeah. Yes, I do. Dr. Demento.
But this was like the real pinnacle for the metal slash hair slash glam mm-hmm. slash stadium bands. And Motley Crue was on top, mm-hmm. on top of their game. And this is the cool part, Rick. This ties it into what we always pair with. During this whole thing, and this is a year's worth of diary, even though he was just strung out, whacked out of his mind, he was a prolific writer. He's writing while he's strung out on heroin. The guy just totally screwed, incapacitated, can write better than most people, you know.
Uh-huh.
Brilliant guy. And, I mean, I got a lot of respect for him after reading this. It's like, damn, if he sobered up, he'd be great.
Yeah.
But
so he was the Karen Carpenter of the glam hair bands.
Well,
right?
And what I didn't know was Nikki Sixx was a guy who ran Motley Crue. The bitch, wow. He bitches about Vince Neil and what a punk-ass bitch he was. Uh-huh. He rags on everybody. But and it's funny because he goes back and forth because he's clean and sober these days, but still, you know, kind of a crazy guy. And he's like doing this retrospective thing. And so I was telling Rick about this earlier. What you've learned, one of the very first things you learn was that part of his problem with everybody who has an addiction has an enabler, right?
Mm-hmm.
His enabler was his skank-ass hoe bag, Vanity, Prince's girlfriend, former girlfriend. Apparently, this girl is a skank ass hoe bag.
Really?
Crack whore. Crack
whore. Did she play Apollonia in Purple Rain?
That's the one. That's okay. The one. And, you know, we got to see her tatas hanging out. We got mm-hmm. to see her on the back of the one about the song about the beret. Raspberry Beret.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, she's an attractive girl. But according to Apollonia? Nikki Sixx. Yeah. According to Nikki Sixx, she look like shit mm-hmm. almost all the time.
Well, you know, she came out a little bit later and got clean and made the talk show scene.
And she turned into?
And she turned into like an
evangelical minister.
Yeah.
She's still that way. She comments, and it's the weirdest thing because he's writing in his diaries, 1986, Vanity came over. We did a shitload of coke.
Yeah.
We were whacked out of our minds. She starts ranting about this and that and the other. And then you read her commenting today. And she is just a Bible banger.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And see, she said, like, the record producers and all that kept her fed with coke.
Ah, bullshit.
And all that.
Yeah, well, funny. They weren't around while she was in there. And Nikki is, like, writing all this stuff that she mm-hmm. did. And so it's just things like that. And then he talks about his buddy, Slash. He loves Slash. He loves the hell out of Slash.
And well, who doesn't?
But here's the thing, Rick. He was hoping to give Slash and his new band a shot as soon as those assholes came up with a name.
Really?
This is when Guns N' Roses came out of that whole Sunset Strip
mm-hmm.
and decided what they were going to call themselves. And so he's bitching loud and long about those sons of bitches, weak-ass, limp-wristed, flip-boy Whitesnake. that they're on tour with. He can't stand Whitesnake. And this is
Coverdale. And
I didn't know
group.
This. And he's talking about, you remember the girl who slid across the car?
Yeah, Tawny Catane.
Tawny Catane. Everybody knows her. What we don't realize is that Tommy Lee had been boning her years before.
Really?
And they're on tour.
And everybody has seen Tommy Lee's junk.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, how's that David Coverdale treating you there, buddy?
Oh, the tangled web.
But it's just funny as hell. And he still to this day hates Whitesnake. And he's talking about, man, I got to get Slash to come out. And apparently this is a funny part, too. He's talking about how Slash, he'd bring him out and they get fucked up. It's crazy. And apparently what was just a source of great hilarity to all of them was who would pee in the bed. They get so drunk, one or both or all of them would piss themselves everywhere. They had this Hell's Angel security guy, And they hired this guy because he's a big, tough guy. He could party hard with them. And if they got out of line, he would beat their ass. They love this guy. So anyway, the is a great book, and you know, you need to go check it out, The Heroin Diaries, and we're going to lead out with a song from it. So let's recap our beers, provided we aren't strung out on beer. We started off, we had the Brabant, help me, Rick.
From Avery, that was the barrel-aged beer, the first of the series, with two strains of Brettanomyces.
Yeah, say that 10 times fast.
Aged in Zinfandel.
Barrels from the same vineyards as the guy has the Mephistopheles.
Why?
So what's our thoughts about that?
Then we moved into the thoughts. I loved it. It's dry.
Loved it.
Probably could stand some aging. Mm-hmm. We drank it early. Luckily, I have another bottle. So
I loved it. I thought it was great.
I did too. I would say that's my favorite of the night.
Okay. All right. And what did we move into?
We moved into the German beers, and I jumped on to the Wiltenberger Kloster Brewery, which is out of Germany, the brewery that was established in 1050. And the first beer I had was the Barock Dunkel. Nice and malty. As a World Cup beer winner in 2004, the best beer or best Dunkel in the world.
Did it taste like the best Dunkel?
It was the best Dunkel I've had tonight.
Very good.
tonight.
The only Dunkel you've had tonight. But
And then my second beer of the evening was the Wiltenberger Kloster Assam Bock, okay. Which is a very nice malty Bock. Coming in around, I think, 6.9%.
All right.
Smooth.
And you had, Mike, what do we have?
We had this German beer, and I can't read the label because it's in German.
Das Schwartz.
We had the Das Schwartz beer. Very good Pilsner-style beer, and I wasn't real enthused with it, but it was a real good, okay beer.
30-ish sort of beer.
You know, and if it was available in the United States, maybe in the heat of the summer,
yeah,
it could be in my fridge. I would drink it.
Okay. And, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
I'd drink it. I'd drink another one, but I wouldn't I wouldn't rave to all my friends about, you got to try this. Decent beer.
But you know,
I really like Schwartz beer, though, in general.
I know you do. Yeah. That's why I was saying you would be a little disappointed.
But you know what, Rick? I could take this probably and give it to a hearty Bud drinker or a Michelob drinker.
Yeah.
And they would really like this.
It may be a gateway beer.
Yeah.
Maybe that'd be good. You would be disappointed because you like a good Schwartz beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we moved into homebrew.
Homebrew.
And we had Mike's Three-Hearted Ale.
Mm-hmm.
Damn tasty beverage.
Mighty
yum.
Fun. Yum.
Yeah. Younger the better, apparently.
And Mike, thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah.
I'm glad I could be here.
About time. And what'd you have next? Or was that your finisher?
That was it. That was my finisher.
Okay. And what we finished with was the Samuel Adams Imperial White, a delicate flower at 10+% alcohol.
Yum.
It was good. It's really good. Okay, so are we saying, we got some marketing splurge on the back. Imperial White pushes out the boundaries of a wit beer. While the brew delivers orange and coriander notes, typical of wit beer, it has a bigger mouthfeel and body. It's truly unique beer. Well, excuse me, Jim. It's got an effervescence, too. I did not get the coriander. I got the orange.
Just a little.
I got the
very
fruit.
Little.
I got
yeah.
pear, apple notes, things yep. like that. Love the beer. But yep. I think the Brabant is definitely my favorite.
I agree. And it sounds cool, too, Brabant.
Yeah. And it's got a horse with a big old set of junk
yeah.
hanging down.
Huh? And your bottle was signed by
Adam Avery. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so there's that.
Right We're there. Not worthy. We're not yeah. worthy.
So good stuff, and thanks for the class and culture, Rick. That was a good one.
You too.
That was a good one.
I was living in the moment there. I was thinking that I should read a book one.
It was good. And the Heroin Diaries by Nikki Sixx, got to read it. So we're out of here, and we'll be back. We'll try and do better. We promise. We'll do more because God help us. We need to drink beers more often and more better beers.
And if you're in the mood for better podcasts than what we do, you can go to beersafari.com because it's a jungle of beer out there.
That's right.
And there's a lot of other webcasts out there that might sound just a little bit better than
just
we are.
Just a hair better.
Because we suck, they suck, they just don't suck as much as us.
That's right. They suck it just slightly less. Rick, anything to add?
He died.
He's off of here. Okay. All right. Well, Rick apparently has been stunned into submission by...
I'm not dead yet.
He's not dead yet.
Oh, he came back from the dead.
Yeah. No, what I was saying before I rudely muted myself was I'm not really into self-deprecation right now, so screw the other guys. We're just as good as they are.
That's right. Oh,
hey, hey, quit touching yourself. That self, whatever you're talking about.
He's Googling. He's Googling himself. That's what all the kids are calling it now.
All right. Make sure you friend us on Facebook.
That's right. Visit us at all of our respective Facebook pages and Big Foamy Head and all our friends at Beer Safari.
And if you want to tweet us, tweet us on Twitter.
Tweet your nuts off.
Twitter or dick.
That's right. That's Big Foamy Head. We're on Twitter too. We are. We got an ass load of followers.
Yeah.
We're cutting edge for aging white guys.
Yeah.
Hey, if it's good for McCain, it's good for us.
Hey, you aren't into self-deprecation. What happened?
Right.
All right. Well, we're going to get out of here and lead out with some Nikki Sixx.
All right.
And this is 6 a.m. and life is beautiful. See you next time.
Drive safe.
Come back to see us.
Until you learn to lie. Can't breathe until you choke. You gotta laugh and go.